You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Ben Sines. Ben is an award-winning author, no stranger to the El Paso community or to the world, and recently Ben was honored with the Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction. Ben, thank you very much for being with us here today, and congratulations.
Thank you, Louis. Thank you, Louis. I really appreciate that.
It's a great award, and we're very fortunate to have you with us. The students are very fortunate to have you as their teacher, mentor, friend. Looking back, did you always want to be a writer?
I don't know that I did, Louis. You know, I know that I wanted to do something that I love to do, and I've always kind of chased my dreams. I never really had an 8-to-5 job. Sometimes part-time jobs, you know, here and there when you're growing up. But as in my life as an adult, I've never had an 8-to-5 job. It's not something that I ever sought or wanted. You know, I'm an ex-priest. I've always kind of chased a dream. And I remember when I was 30, having left the priesthood, I did want to be a writer, and I didn't know how to go about it. And so I decided, I was working on a novel, and I really didn't know what I was doing, not at all. I had a lot of desire, but I had no discipline. I didn't know that my craft. So I came back to school, and I came to UTEP, and I got a master's degree here in creative writing. And I studied under, I did my thesis under Arturo Islas, who was here as a visiting writer from Stanford. And then I just began my career slowly but surely. I went to Iowa, University of Iowa there. I wasn't at the writer's workshop. I had a fellowship in to study American literature to do a PhD. And I was there for a year, but I had applied for a Wallace Stegner Fellowship at Stanford University, not really expecting to get it. There's over 1,000 applicants for 8 spots, 4 in poetry and 4 in fiction. And I didn't think I had a shot. But at the end of that year in the spring, I did get a phone call from Stanford University informing me that I had been awarded a Wallace Stegner Fellowship. And I was happy to accept, even though I thought they'd made a mistake. and so I went to Stanford, and in some ways, that really launched my career, because I went there and I studied under Denise Levertov. And Denise Levertov was a very generous mentor. And she's responsible for getting my first book published, which won an American Book Award. And I'd like to say that the rest of history, but that's not true. That's not how the writing life goes.
One of the things that people were actually surprised when they read the article that came out in the El Paso Times, the fact that you used to be a priest.
Well, I don't think I would have become a writer had I not been an educated man. And the Catholic Church educated me. It really gave me, it really made me, it really helped turn me into a thinker. It really did. And it helped discipline me. And I think that I took all of those things that I learned in philosophy and theology along with me when I became a writer. You don't leave those things behind. You really don't.
And because a lot of people who either get a degree in divinity, theology, anything like that, they are very intense courses. This is not something that it's just English 101 and you're finished, and they stay with you the rest of your life.
Yes, they do. And so therefore, I always like to say is that writing is the way that I do philosophy. Writing is the way that I do theology. It is. It very much is. I think In Perfect Light, one of my novels was kind of my meditation on the meaning of the world and how life isn't logical and that there's meaning behind everything that happens, even though there's no logic, that there's meaning and in the universe somehow, that there is a kind of meaning, even though life can be very cruel. It was almost my meditation on why bad things happen to good people.
And then after Carry Me Like Water, of course, you wrote some other poetry books, and then you wrote some other novels. But At what point did you start writing not children's book, but you also wrote some books for young teens, youth?
I started, I suppose, 10 years ago. Maybe it hasn't been that long. Not quite 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. I started writing for young adults at the urging of Cinco Puntos Press, and I published a book called Sammy and Juliana in Hollywood. Since then, I've published three more. My second book was He Forgot to Say Goodbye, published by Simon & Schuster. My third book was Last Night I Sang to the Monster, published by Cinco Puntos. And now my award-winning book, my award-winning novel, Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, was published by Simon & Schuster. And that book was highly celebrated at the Youth Media Awards at the midwinter meeting of the American Library Association.
Tell us about this award winner, what you just finished receiving an award for, and why did you mention the Kentucky Club? Everybody who has lived in El Paso, visited El Paso, is familiar with the Kentucky Club.
Well, that's precisely why, because it becomes a symbol not only of Juarez, but of El Paso. It becomes a watering hole for both places, and it becomes an emblem of how the city belongs to each other and how that place brings the people of both cities together. And so I thought it was really appropriate. Also, I mentioned in one of the stories that that bars were churches for people who'd lost their faith. And I thought that sometimes it takes the place of a church. And that maybe that's not such a good thing either. I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm just reflecting on it. And so I really wanted the Kentucky Club to tie the collection together. And it might mean something different in every story, but it's omnipresent because the border is omnipresent. And we traverse back and forth. The denizens of the border traverse back and forth. Even in these dangerous times, and they're less dangerous now, I think Juarez is coming back. But even then, when people were afraid to go to Juarez, a lot of people still went to Juarez because they had family there, because they lived there, because they go back and forth. And nothing can stop them from going back and forth because Juarez and El Paso cannot exist without each other. And that's just the way it is. Border cities belong to each other. They're glued to each other. Perhaps at times they hate each other. Sometimes they embrace each other. Sometimes they reject each other. It's a complicated relationship. So if I had just picked, there is no bar. There is no place in El Paso that is a cornerstone the way that that place is. There just isn't. Well, that should tell you something. If everybody in El Paso has been to or heard of the Kentucky Club, that says a great deal.
And even not just El Pasoans and people who live in Juarez, but celebrities, people who have, you know, when they had Juarez had the Quickie Divorces,
right.
They used to come down here, and the country club, people have reminisced about going to the Kentucky Club, excuse me. And you know, people like Steve McQueen and other artists who have been to the El Paso area. Now, as far as writing the story, you knew from the beginning, I would imagine, that this was going to be a collection of short stories. And if you did you already have a theme in mind, or were you going to make it
No.
of like a little bit smorgasbord?
No. I just wrote each story at a time, trusting that somehow, I mean, each story stands on its own, and it has to be that way. But when you put them together in a collection, you can see connections between them. My obsessions, my representations of how people live and breathe and die and suffer and survive on the border. And I just wrote about real people, or I made it seem like they're real people because they're not real people, they're characters. And I have always trusted my own writing, Louis. I just do it. I just do it, and I don't worry about it. I just do the best I can. Every time I get up to write something, I just do the best I can do, and I leave it alone after that.
And you know, I guess asking you that, it's like asking somebody, how do you prepare a speech, or how do you do an interview? How do you do this? You just do it because that's the way you're used to doing it. And then you, like you said, you leave it alone. Sometimes it may need a little twitching here and there.
Well, I edit a lot. I mean, I really smooth out a lot. But in terms of the story, I always have it in my head. I always have a whole story in my head before I start even writing.
Now, for people who may not be familiar with the Pen Faulkner Award, some of the recognized authors, previous winners, include E.L. Doctorow, Ann Patchett, who wrote a wonderful book, State of Wonder, Philip Roth, of course, John Updike, Sherman Alexie, and Annie Proulx. And so you're in some very good company, or should I say they're in some very good company, and perhaps they should all come down here and have a drink with you at the Kentucky Club.
I'm not so sure that I'm deserving to be in their company, but I am very grateful for the award.
Are you the first, and I think you're the first Hispanic to be awarded this?
I am the first Hispanic to win that award.
Are you the first from the El Paso Southwest to win?
First from Texas.
Congratulations. Now tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen now. You're going to have a ceremony in Washington, D.C., I know, and you're going to meet some of these other writers, etc.
We will be flown to Washington, D.C., and we will have the night before the ceremony, we will have a private dinner with the finalists, all five of us finalists, along with the judges and members of the and people from the Pen Faulkner Foundation. The next day at the Folger Library, there will be a reading. All of the finalists will read for 10 minutes. It'll be in alphabetical order, and the winner will go last. And I still have yet to pick what passage I'm going to read, but I'm sure I'll manage to find one.
And as far as passage and reading, how long do they give you? Do they say
10 minutes? 10 minutes.
And as far as the book goes, because as you all know, as you're very aware, people, the show that you and Daniel Chacon host, Words on a Wire, it can be heard worldwide thanks to the internet. And of course, they can hear other shows worldwide. So people want to find out, okay, I want this book. I just heard this interview and I want to buy this book. And the latest craze, of course, are ebooks and Kindle books. Although Kindle is a brand name, but everybody calls them Kindle books. Are they available in that format?
It is available as an ebook.
Where can they get them? Here in El Paso and
Barnes and Noble. At any independent bookstore, at any bookstore. They can be found at any bookstore and, of course, Amazon.com or any online bookstore. It can be found everywhere.
And are you planning before the end of the semester any readings and writings, or are you going to wait till you come back?
No, there is a reading that we're scheduling with Cinco Puntos Press, and it will be at the Community Foundation. And I think it's going to be Saturday the 27th, but I'm not sure if that's exactly the firm date.
Do you have a webpage that they can go to?
No, I don't. I really don't. I have a Facebook.
You have Facebook, but they can also go to just type in the name of the book and they can find out a little
bit. You can just Google the book or Google me.
And again, we've been visiting with Ben Sines. He is the award-winning author of the book.
Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club.
He is the first Hispanic to win this award and also the first person in Texas. Ben, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. Thank you for being with us and congratulations. And you make all of us proud. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Louis, for having, or I should say, thank you, cousin, for having me on your show.
Okay, thank you. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.